Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for January 14th, 2024 is based on John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagenfield, and the sermon title is Our Vocational Call. Our second reading comes from John chapter 1, an introduction. In John's gospel, Jesus' ministry begins with the call of disciples, who then bring others to Jesus. Philip's friend Nathanael moves from skepticism to faith when he accepts the invitation to come and see. A reading from John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Well, grace and peace to you from God, the one who calls and equips us for God's work in the world. Amen. Well, when you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? Who's got an answer?
Teacher.
Teacher? I hear teacher. What else?
Scientist.
Truck driver. Stewardess?
Holder.
A holder?
Older.
Older. Yeah. Now, by show of hands, how many of you have or had the career you wanted as a kid? A couple people, yeah. I don't remember what I wanted to be when I was a toddler, but I do remember that when I was in grade school, I wanted to be an ophthalmologist. I'm weird like that. Later on, I wanted to be a Broadway actor and then a camp director. Never did I seriously think that I would ever be called to full-time ministry as a pastor. Before going to seminary, I didn't read the Bible a whole lot. I sometimes used colorful language. I was a home brewer. I barely made it through college. I wasn't super academic. I definitely didn't want to learn any more foreign languages. And I was in my late 30s. I mean, surely God is not going to call someone like that to be a pastor, right? But what I've learned is that God doesn't necessarily call the equipped. God equips the called. It's a phrase that you may have heard in the life of the church before, but God does not necessarily call the equipped. God equips the called. Take a look at our reading today from John. After being baptized, Jesus begins his ministry work. And he decides that the first thing he should do is probably get himself an entourage. He doesn't want to go about this work of ministry alone. The people that he calls to journey alongside him will not only be friends to accompany him during the long trips, but they'll also be helpers in the work that he has been called to do. So who does he call to come alongside him? If we think of this like Jesus launching a startup company, well, Jesus would be the CEO. And most successful CEOs will tell you that they became successful because they surrounded themselves with talented individuals, people who were maybe smarter than them in certain areas in which they lacked. Logic would dictate that Jesus then should choose people with gifts different than his that will complement his own gifts. Maybe he should get a person who's high up in government who will help give him access to people in power. Maybe he should recruit a temple leader who can boost his credibility with the Jewish people. Maybe he needs a marketing guru to help him craft his message to get it out to the widest possible crowd. Maybe a brand ambassador is someone that he should recruit. A brand ambassador would help make sure that all of his messaging was so clear and on point that maybe, let's say, 2,000 years down the road, people wouldn't be fighting over what they interpreting what he said. The list could go on and on of the type of people we would expect Jesus to select in order for his ministry to be a success by our standards today. But Jesus flips our expectations on their heads. He doesn't call the equipped, the ones we think who are perfect for the job. Rather, he equips the called. He finds the people first who are open to his message, and then he brings them under his wing to teach them about his ministry. Kind of like on-the-job training or an apprenticeship. Now, we don't know the professions of all 12 of the disciples that Jesus calls to follow him, but we do know that several of them were fishermen, hardworking people who probably had little formal education or teaching. He calls a tax collector, who in that time were not viewed favorably among many Jewish people as they worked hand in hand with the Roman government and extorted money from people for their own gain. He also calls Simon, who is called a zealot, meaning that he was probably whipping up the Jewish people into a frenzy to try to overthrow their Roman oppressors. Jesus was not putting together a plain, boring, milquetoast group of people who would be palatable to everyone. They were a ragtag group of people coming from their different walks of life who probably didn't get along with one another all the time. And it's with this group of disciples, ordinary people that are called to do something extraordinary, that Jesus begins his ministry. By calling these seemingly ordinary people a cross-section of Middle Eastern life from 2,000 years ago, Jesus shows that the work of God is not just for the religious elite or those in power. God's work is set before all people, no matter their background. God calls each of us into God's love-focused, redemptive work of justice, no matter our past, and promises to equip us along the way. For God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. God's calling and equipping did not stop after those initial 12 disciples were brought together. God continues to bring us together and call us today. First, God calls us beloved children of God. God calls us forgiven. God calls us redeemed. God calls us holy. God calls us God's chosen. The first call we experience in our lives is all about what God is doing for us and what God is doing in us. And the second calling comes as a response to God's love for us. Later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" to Simon. He says, "If so, feed my sheep." And those words call out to us now as well. God says to us, "If you love me, feed my sheep. Love your neighbor. Show them the same grace, love, and forgiveness that I have shown you. Take care of their basic needs, not only their physiological needs, food and water, shelter, clothing, those kinds of things, but also things like safety, and love and a sense of belonging and healthy self-esteem, things that are nurtured when we come together. And God doesn't only call pastors to this life of service. God calls each and every one of us. In the church, we call the ways that God has equipped us to love our neighbor as our vocation. Some of us, like pastors, have made our vocation our daily occupation as well. But not all people are called to be clergy, just as not all people are called to be doctors or electricians or line cooks. But we all have a vocational call. I've heard it said that a vocation is a place where our gifts and passions intersect with the world's needs. Where our gifts and passions intersect with the world's needs. Each of us has been equipped to share God's love with people in our own special way. I see doctors and nurses sharing love with people as they mend their broken bodies. I've seen hospice workers share God's love with people as they hold the hand of a dying patient. I've seen teachers share God's love by giving kids granola bars or a pair of gloves when they know they aren't getting those essential items at home. I've seen a restaurant owner share the love of God with their employees as they seek to hire formerly incarcerated individuals so that they can make a living wage. I've seen fast food workers show the love of God to people as they give the person experiencing homelessness a free cup of coffee to warm up on a cold day. I've heard stories of our own youth here at Resurrection who share the love of God with their classmates by standing up for them and comforting them when they're being bullied. The list could go on and on. And I'm sure you have seen people living out their vocational calls as well, even if you didn't think of it in that way. So often the world identifies it as just being a nice human being to others. But it's more than that. Because we don't owe the people we serve anything, but we do it out of the love we have for God who first loved us. So knowing that God has already called you, beloved, have you heard that second calling in your life yet? Have you figured out how God has equipped you to love your neighbor? Where do your gifts and passions intersect with the world's need? Because God has called each and every one of us to do good works, not for our own salvation, but for the sake of God's kingdom here on earth. God has called you, and God is equipping you to do amazing and miraculous things in God's name. Do we love God? Then let us feed God's sheep. Let us heed the call and love our neighbor. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race,